Concerto for Siren and Serotonin. 2. Checking to see that no one was watching, Croyd dropped a pair of black beauties with his espresso. He cursed softly as a part of the sigh that followed. This was not working out as he had anticipated. All of the leads he had tried during the past days had pretty much fizzled, and he was further along into the speed than he cared to be. Ordinarily, this would not bother him. But for the first time, he had made two separate promises concerning drugs and his actions. One being business and one being personal, he reflected. They kind of caught him coming and going. He would definitely have to keep an eye, or at least a few facets on himself, so as not to mess up on this job, and he didn't want to turn Water Lily off on their first date. Usually, though, he could feel the paranoia coming on. And he decided to let that be his indicator as to his degree of irrationality this time around. He had run all over town, trying to trace two leads who seemed to have vanished. He had checked out every possible front on his list, satisfying himself that they had only been randomly chosen rendezvous points. Next was James Spector. While he hadn't recognized the name, he did know Demise. He had met him briefly on a number of occasions. The man had always impressed him as one of the sleazier aces. "If it's Demise, don't look in his eyes," he hummed as he signaled to a waiter. "Yes, sir." "More espresso, and bring me a bigger cup for it, will you?" "Yes, sir." "For that matter, bring me a whole pot." "All right." He hummed a little more loudly and began tapping his foot. "Demise eyes, the eyes of Demise," he intoned. He jumped when the waiter placed a cup before him. "Don't sneak up on me like that." "Sorry, didn't mean to startle you." The man began to fill the cup. "Don't stand behind me while you're pouring. Stand off to the side where I can see you." "Sure." The waiter moved off to Croyd's right. He left the carafe on the table when he departed. As he drank cup after cup of coffee, Croyd began thinking thoughts he had not thought in a long while. Concerning sleep, mortality, transfiguration. After a time, he called for another carafe. It was definitely a two-carafe problem.
The evening snowfall had ceased, but the inch or so that lay upon the sidewalk sparkled under the street lamps, and a wind so cold it burned whipped glittering eddies along 10th Street. Walking carefully, the tall, thin man in the heavy black overcoat glanced back once as he turned the corner, breath pluming. Ever since he'd left the package store, he'd had a feeling that he was being watched, and there was a figure, 100 yards or so back, moving along the opposite side of the street at about the same pace as himself. James Spector felt that it might be worth waiting for the man and killing him, just to avoid any possible hassle farther along the way. After all, there were 2/5 of Jack Daniels and a 6-pack of Schlitz in his bag, and if someone were to accost him abruptly on these icy walks, he winced at the thought of the bottles breaking, of having to retrace his path to the store. On the other hand, waiting for the man and killing him right here, while holding the package, could also result in his slipping, even if it was only when he leaned forward to go through the man's pockets. It would be better to find a place to set things down first. He looked about. There were some steps leading up to a doorway farther along. He headed for them and set his parcel down on the third one, against its iron railing. He brushed off his collar and turned it up, fished a package of cigarettes from his pocket, shook one out, and lit it with thin-cupped hands. He leaned against the rail then and waited, watching the corner. Shortly, a man in gray slacks and a blue blazer came into sight, necktie whipping in the wind, dark hair disheveled. He paused and stared, then nodded and advanced. As he came nearer, Spector realized that the man was wearing mirror shades. He felt a sudden jab of panic, seeing that the other possessed an adequate first line of defense against him. It wasn't likely to be an accident either, in the middle of the night. Therefore, this was more than some strong-arm hood on his tail. He took a long drag on a cigarette, then mounted several steps backward, slowly, gaining sufficient height for a good kick at the other's head to knock the damn things off. "Yo, Demise," the man called. "I need to talk to you." Demise stared, trying to place him. But there was nothing familiar about the man, not even his voice. The man came up and stood before him, smiling. "I just need a minute or two of your time," he said. "It's important. I'm in a big hurry, and I'm trying for a certain measure of subtlety. It isn't easy." "Do I know you?" Demise asked him. "We've met. In other lives, so to speak. My lives, that is. Also, I believe you might once have done some accounting for my brother-in-law's company over in Jersey. Croyd's the name."
"What do you want?"
"I need the name of the head of the new mob that's trying to take over operations from the kindly old mafia, which has run this town for a half a century or so."
"You're kidding," Demise said, taking a final drag on a cigarette, dropping it and moving his toe to grind it.
"No," said Croyd. "I definitely require this information so I can rest in peace." "I understand you've done some work, other than bookkeeping, for these guys, so tell me, who runs the show? And I'll be moving along."
"I can't do that," Demise answered.
"As I said, I'm aiming for subtlety, so I'd rather not work this the hard way."
Demise kicked him in the face.
Croyd's glasses flew over his shoulder, and Demise found himself staring at the 216 glittering eye facets. He was unable to lock gazes with the points of light.
"You're an ace," he said, "or a joker."
"I'm the sleeper,"
Croyd told him as he reached out and took hold of Demise's right arm, then broke it across the railing.
"You should have let me be subtle. It doesn't hurt as much."
Demise shrugged even as he winced. "Go ahead and break the other one, too. But I can't tell you what I don't know." Croyd stared at the arm hanging at Demise's side. Demise reached across and caught hold of it, twisted it into place, held it.
"You heal real fast, don't you?" Croyd said. "In minutes, even. I remember now."
"That's right."
"Can you grow a new arm if I tear one off?"
"I don't know, and I'd rather not find out."
"Look, I've heard you're a psycho, and I believe it. I'd tell you if I knew. I don't enjoy regenerating. But all I did was a lousy contract hit. I've got no idea who's on top."
Croyd reached out with both hands, catching hold of Demise's wrists.
"Breaking you up may not do much good," he observed. "But there's still room for subtlety. Ever have any electroshock therapy? Try this."
When Demise stopped jerking, Croyd released his wrists. When he could speak again, Demise said, "I still can't tell you. I don't know."
"So let's lose a few more neurons," Croyd suggested.
"Cool it a minute," Demise said. "I never learned the names of any of the big guys. Never meant dick to me. Still don't. All I know is this guy named I, a joker. He just has one big eye, and he wears a monocle in it. He met me once in Times Square, gave me a hit, and paid me. That's all that matters. You know how it is. You freelance yourself."
Croyd sighed. "I? Seems I've heard of him someplace or other. Where can I get a hold of the guy?"
"I understand. He hangs around Club Dead Nicholas, plays cards there a while on Friday nights. Kept meaning to go by and kill the fucker, but I never got around to it. Cost me a foot."
"Club Dead Nicholas?" Croyd said.
I don't believe I know that one.
Used to be Nicholas King's mortuary, near Jokertown. Serves food and booze, has music and a dance floor, gambling in a back room. Just opened recently, kinda Halloween motif. Too morbid for my taste.
Okay, Croyd said. I hope you're not bullshitting me, Demise.
That's all I got. Croyd nodded slowly.
It'll do.
He released the other and backed away.
Maybe then I can rest, he said. Subtle, real subtle.
He picked up Demise's package and put it in his arms.
Here, don't forget your stuff. Better watch your step, too. He's getting slippery.
He continued to back away, muttering to himself up the street to the corner. Then he turned again and was gone. Sinking to a seated position on the stoop, Demise cracked open a fifth and took a long swallow.